You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show here. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show on the line. I got the great Gareth Porter from Interpress Service. That's ipsnews.net, ipsnews.net. He also writes for truthout.org. We rerun virtually all of it at antiwar.com, original.antiwar.com/Porter is where you can find that whole archive. And, of course, he's the author of the book Manufactured Crisis. Literally wrote the book on it, the so-called Iranian nuclear weapons program, which Gareth shows never existed. Welcome back to the show, Gareth. How are you doing?
Hi, Scott. Glad to be back. I'm good.
Good, good. Very happy to have you back on the show. And, of course, we spoke just the other day about your interview with a former very high-level member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Forces about the old Ayatollah Khomeini's edict that chemical and nuclear weapons were banned. Now, your next piece, it's sort of old news, but just because you debunked it before doesn't mean they quit trying. And so you've had to now, at IPS News, debunk again. So we're here to give you a platform to do a little bit of that debunking, too. The headline is, history of key document in IAEA probe suggests Israeli forgery. Now, this is extra super important because we're right in the middle of talks trying to get a final nuclear agreement with Iran where America will back off the threats of war, repeal the sanctions, and the Iranians will allow for these expanded inspections, so expanded that it makes the Americans happy enough, maybe disconnect enough centrifuges, divert a few projects to different purposes, that kind of thing, so that there can finally be an agreement. And yet, in the midst of this, the IAEA says, hey, we've got some serious unanswered questions that the Iranians have not completely fessed up about experiments on nuclear weapons technology, Gareth. So it seems pretty damn important if that, in fact, is true, but you seem to think not. So first of all, can you tell us about what is it exactly that they're referring to? And then, secondly, we'll get to why it is that you're so skeptical of the origins of this evidence.
Well, this this document, which is the focal point of the article, is what I call the high explosives document. It's also referred to in that way in a lot of news media coverage. It is a document that appeared on the scene in 2008, which the IAEA, as usual, mysteriously obtained without ever naming officially the source of the document. It showed up on the list of documents in the May 2008 IAEA report, which had been shown to Iran and was briefly described as, and I'm not going to try to make sure that the wording is the same, but essentially it was said to be a description of experiments with high explosives that involved a multi-point initiation concept. And the implication was left that this was a very strong indication of a nuclear weapons related experiment. And that, of course, has been the IAEA claim ever since. And then it went on in subsequent months. In the next IAEA report in September 2008, the very scintillating, shall we say, detail was added to this previous report about the high explosives document, that it was reported that a foreign expert had helped the Iranians carry out these experiments, and that the Iranians had been asked to explain themselves with regard to this foreign expert. And of course, we now know that the foreign expert was none other than the Ukrainian scientist Vyacheslav Danilenko. And we've talked about him on your show before, but he now, I think, is again relevant to understanding what's going on in the politics surrounding the IAEA role in relation to the nuclear talks. And I just want to very quickly, before we lose sight of this or before it gets forgotten, make sure everyone understands that the IAEA and the P5 plus one are taking the position that Iran must explain all of these documents, and particularly at this point, the one that's on the top of the agenda is the high explosives document, or otherwise there will not be a comprehensive agreement, that the Iranian explanation to the satisfaction of the IAEA is a precondition for, or a condition for, the successful negotiation of the comprehensive agreement. In fact, I've even seen a report suggesting, it seems credible to me that this is the case, that the P5 plus one is taking the position in the talks that if the Iranians are not able to explain satisfactorily the various claims that are made in these documents within the first phase of the agreement, that then the P5 plus one would not withdraw the sanctions in the subsequent phase of the agreement. So that's the significance at this point of this document.
Right. In other words, it's absolutely huge and
yes.
could sink the deal.
It could sink the deal indeed. And that is why it's extremely important that some understanding of what this issue is really all about gets a broader audience.
All right. Now, so before we get back to all of that, and we will, let me ask you this. It seems to me there's a very small number of reporters who covered this kind of topic in America's national security beat. You got Laura Rosen, you got Barbara Slavin, you got Scott Peterson, and the guys over at NIAC, and that's just about it, right? And of course the hacks, right? George John and David Sanger, but
right. And
so,
don't forget Reuters as well. Reuters always files. Every time there's a turning point in the IAEA Iran saga, they always file a story or two. So they have to be included.
But all those people that I named by name at first there, those are people who, they're not perfect necessarily all the time or whatever, but they're pretty damn good on this stuff. And I believe it was Scott Peterson reported as well as you did that Robert Kelly from the IAEA wasn't buying into this. So my question for you is that never mind whether Israel forged the document for the moment. We'll cover that. But for the purposes of these other reporters, have they not been shown enough reason to be under the consensus now? Are they not under the consensus now that, yeah, that story had already fallen apart because simply Kelly didn't believe it? And if Kelly didn't believe it, then that's it. He was the guy in the position to know at the IAEA. So they wouldn't have to go necessarily be as good as you on Danilenko or on the origin of the document or anything else to have reason to just... I'm sorry it's taken so long, Gareth. What I'm trying to ask you is, isn't it the consensus among these few Iran nuclear reporters in America that they already don't believe this story, and yet it's still going on? The government is still treating this as though it's a legitimate deal breaker for these talks?
Two points about that. One, the first point is that I would say that most of the reporters that you've referred to have not written debunking or questioning the high explosives document. Certainly the Monitor has quoted Robert Kelly, and he did have a piece in Bloomberg, in 2012, debunking the document.
Oh yeah, Yosef Butt, he's really good on this stuff too. There's a writer who's good.
Right. But most of the journalists that you've mentioned have not indeed debunked this or questioned it. And the second point is that the coverage of the recent developments in this storyline, that is what has happened in the meetings between the IAEA and Iran since August have uniformly suggested that Iran has been remiss, has been stonewalling, has been refusing to cooperate, has failed to provide the necessary information that the IAEA has demanded about this document. So
I see.
Even if there had been some debunking in the past, it has now been forgotten. It's never brought up. It
right.
certainly has not been brought up.
And unless the document is debunked, they're going to carry on under the impression that the whole line of questioning is legit. I see.
Exactly.
All right, now, I'm sorry, because I already screwed us up, and we got to take this break. But hold it right there, Gareth. We'll be right back, everybody, with Gareth Porter from Interpress Service. History of key document in IAEA probe suggests Israeli forgery. No kidding, huh? Hey, I'll Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, you guys, welcome back. I'm sorry, I ran us all into the break there. So I was asking Garrett, but don't the other reporters know better than this now? And his basic answer, that was my question in a nutshell, and his answer in a nutshell was, as long as the documents aren't debunked, they think that the IAEA and the member states of the UN and the P5+1, this and that, that they have, the UN Security Council, that is, that they have a presumed reason to legitimately complain here that the Iranians are not coming out with everything. So that's what we talked about there during the break.
And I would also just add very quickly,
yeah.
Scott, that most of the coverage in recent weeks, that is since August, has been Reuters reporting on this story, Reuters and AP. It really has not been the subject of reportage in major newspapers at all. So we have been depending on reporters who have certainly had less of a record of looking into this question in the past. That's
right.
For sure.
Yeah, less experienced ones, yeah. Okay, and that's important on this story because you got to be able to remember back and go, huh, well, but what about David Kelly? Or Robert Kelly, pardon.
No historical context, yeah. No historical background at all.
Right. So tell me if I'm right about this. What you're saying is that there are, is it two or more hard reasons to disbelieve what this document claims is right? And one is that we already know who the scientist is they're referring to, and he wasn't a nuclear weapons scientist. He was a nanodiamond scientist, and that accounts for the implosion system. He's not trying to split uranium atoms. He's trying to make tiny little carbon atoms into the shape of nanodiamonds. And that then this guy, Robert Kelly, from the IAEA, agrees with that. And then the other thing is that the IAEA had their pick of places to inspect there at Parchin, where all this took place, and back in 2005, and they were satisfied then that there was nothing to find there. What else am I missing as far as that? And then I want to let you go on all the reasons that you believe that it was forged by the Israelis, kind of as the separate question in a second.
Just on the 2005 IAEA visit to Parchin, there's a point that relates to that I believe I made in my book, I'm pretty sure I did, which really needs to be repeated and expanded on, and that is that if the Iranians had anything to hide at Parchin, and the presumption that you've just talked about, of course, is that the Iranians did in fact have something to hide, which was this gigantic alleged cylinder for testing nuclear weapons designs or whatever, but somehow related to nuclear weapons research. And had they had something like that to hide, they never would have allowed the IAEA twice to go into Parchin to pick out whatever sites they wanted to visit in one of the four quadrants on two different occasions to visit five sites in each case of their own choice. And none other than Ali Heinonen has said that the Iranians didn't know which sites we were going to choose until we arrived on the site. So, I mean, that to me is the absolute, verification of the fact that Iran had nothing to hide, certainly had no, bomb test cylinder to hide at Parchin.
Well, and I got something to add here too, which is I'm friends with Gordon Prather, who's the former chief scientist of the Army and had a career making nuclear weapons and working at Sandia National Laboratory, et cetera, a real expert's expert at literally fusing hydrogen atoms together. He could kill your whole city. And he said, that's not how you test an implosion system for a nuclear weapon anyway, inside a chamber like that. You got to do it out in the open. And
then you need
all this super high speed X-ray film in order to play it back at extra super slow-mo. And then you got to repeat the test hundreds of times to get it right. And they don't have the technology to do this. And that's not even what the accusation is. So just forget it.
Bob Kelly said exactly the same thing. So, I mean, there's no question this is a completely, I mean, it makes no sense technically whatsoever, that whole story. But in addition to that, I make the point that the history of this document, the origins of the document show that there's no question it came from the Israelis. First of all, I just found this out since my book was published, that there was an article in Jane's it was the May 1st, 2008 edition, but it was actually dated March 14th, 2008. Which said, well, I've just been shown by a source connected with Western intelligence, these documents which show that Iran was experimenting with, some sort of multi-point initiation system or language which was, similar to that. So he's clearly, talking about the high explosives document. And then he said, and what this shows is that the NIE of December 2007 was wrong. Which, of course, was the Israeli propaganda line. So whoever was showing him that was making the argument on behalf of the Israelis if it wasn't the Israeli intelligence people themselves who passed it on. And so that's the first clue that this was indeed an Israeli document. But the second thing, of course, is that our friend David Albright, who was close to Ali Heinonen, was a good friend of Ali Heinonen, told me in September 2008.
Now, wait, slow down 1 second here. Ali Heinonen, everybody, is a very hawkish, anti-Iranian type individual, formerly at very high levels of the IAEA, now a professor at Harvard, and he's always leaking hawkish stuff to the media. That's the subtext there. Go ahead.
Correct. So Heinonen told David Albright, according to this interview that I had with Albright in September 2008, that there was a certain document that was very important to him, which had come to him in earlier that year in 2008. Well, there's only one document that coincides with that description, and that's the high explosives document. Albright said to me, it was probably Israel that gave him the document. And of course, all of the evidence indicates that the documentation that has come since 2008, has been from the Israelis. Mohammed El-Baradei said so in his own memoirs. And El-Baradei, is not going to say that unless it's well-founded, because he was not trying to make enemies of the United States. Believe me, he was trying to keep on the good side of the United States, but he felt so strongly about what the Israelis were doing that he had to tell the truth in his memoirs about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he, of course, also said he never saw any indication that the Iranians were pursuing nuclear weapons. So never mind. All the atom count was still always the same when it came to non-diversion. But he just, in other words, he never was under the impression that they were. It never seemed to him that they were, as loosely as you could define it, the former director of the IAEA.
El-Baradei knew very well that the Israelis were passing him false documents. And he says so in his memoirs that some of the documents that they examined at the agency, they had very serious questions about their authenticity, and they queried the Israelis about that. And it's, I've had word from a former IAEA official saying that they were, a number of people there knew that there was something wrong with these documents, that they were not authentic. It didn't add up.
Right. Well, and here's one more big reason to think that this document must have come from the Israelis and maybe probably even, created by them. And that would be all of your other journalism on the laptop, the so-called smoking laptop or laptop of death. That's a bunch of crap, which you're reporting in your book and for IPSnews.net has completely deconstructed and destroyed for all time. So would seem to indicate the same sort of deal here. I'm sorry we're all out of time, but that's the great Gareth Porter, everybody. IPSnews.net, history of key document. An IAEA probe suggests Israeli forgery. You can also find it at original.antiwar.com/Porter. Thanks very much, Gareth. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, all, Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. Hey, all, Scott Horton here. I want to tell you about this great new book, Livin' La Vida Baroka, American Culture in an Age of Imperial Orthodoxies by Thomas Harrington. While he comes from the left, Harrington has little time for much of what is passed off under that label today. Like us libertarians, he puts peace and freedom first. The book's got great essays on American fascism, empire, the Israeli occupation, the left and Obama, liberalism in the state, and some interesting lessons from the history of Imperial Spain. Livin' La Vida Baroka by Thomas Harrington. Check it out at scotthorton.org/books or scotthorton.org/Amazon. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who provides his subscribers with a very real window into his investments, updating them on every move he makes in the markets. Right now, Mike's anticipating a bear and is dumping all the stocks while the getting is good, investing instead in gold and the commodities. Protect your assets and learn the wise ways of the markets. WallStreetWindow.com. And check out Mike Swanson's great contribution to the history of the rise of the American Empire and the war state, available at scotthorton.org/Amazon. Why does the U.S. support the tortured dictatorship in Egypt? Because that's what Israel wants. Why can't America make peace with Iran? Because that's not what Israel wants. And why do we veto every attempt to shut down illegal settlements on the West Bank? Because it's what Israel wants. Seeing a pattern here? Sick of it yet? It's time to put America first. Support the Council of the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org and push back against the Israel lobby and their sock puppets in Washington, D.C. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org.